Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily. I'm your host, and we have a packed show for you today, diving into some major local controversies and state-level political clashes.
That's right. But before we get into the heavy stuff, let's take a quick look outside. Right now in Grand Rapids, we are looking at overcast clouds with a current temperature of 45 degrees, though with the wind, it feels a bit closer to 43.
It is a bit of a deceptive morning. We are expecting those temperatures to climb up to a high of around 66 degrees later today. However, you will want to keep an eye on the sky and your weather apps this evening.
Exactly. The National Weather Service has issued a warning for potential severe storms moving into southwest Michigan later tonight. The radar shows instability building, and while we might stay dry through the afternoon, that risk of severe weather really ramps up as we head into Friday night and early Saturday morning.
Given the volatile weather patterns we have seen recently across the state, it is definitely a night to make sure your devices are charged and you have a way to receive alerts. We will keep tracking that, but let's shift gears to our top stories.
Today, we are looking at a heated debate happening right here in Grand Rapids over automated license plate readers and who exactly has access to that data. Plus, we will break down Attorney General Dana Nessel's legal fight against the federal government to close a West Michigan coal plant. Our first deep dive today comes from a highly active discussion over on the Grand Rapids subreddit, titled, Next Phase of Totalitarianism Underway. Let's Fight It in Grand Rapids. It centers entirely on the deployment and usage of flock safety cameras across the city. For listeners who might not be familiar, flock safety operates automated license plate reader systems, or ALPRs. But these are not your standard toll booth cameras. They use advanced AI to identify not just the license plate, but the vehicle's make, model, color, and even unique attributes like bumper stickers, roof racks, or specific dents.
And the sheer scale of this network is what is sparking so much concern. Crowdsourced data from this month indicates there are at least 38 of these flock cameras operating within the Grand Rapids city limits alone. When you zoom out to the broader metro area, that number jumps to approximately 150 cameras.
City leadership has been quick to defend the technology. Mayor David LeGrand has publicly stated that these cameras are an essential tool for solving serious crimes. He has been adamant that they are not used for monitoring everyday people or for immigration enforcement, emphasizing that the city has tight limits on how the data is utilized. But that promise of tight limits is exactly what is being tested right now, and it is the core of the community's frustration. Recent reports have surfaced alleging that the Grand Rapids Police Department actually provided a shared account to a federal task force. That essentially creates a back door for federal agencies to access the local data pool.
And the fallout from that allegation has been significant. In fact, it led the Kalamazoo Department of Public Safety to completely revoke GRPD's access to Kalamazoo's own flock system. When neighboring jurisdictions start cutting off data sharing because they do not trust how you are managing federal access, it highlights a massive breakdown in policy enforcement. It really brings the concept of sanctuary protections into question. Grand Rapids has policies intended to protect immigrant communities and limit cooperation with federal immigration enforcement unless a serious crime is involved. Privacy advocates are arguing that if ICE or other federal agencies can just log into a shared task force account and query the flock network, those local protections are effectively nullified. Flock Safety as a company has tried to distance itself from this specific controversy. They actually paused direct federal contracts back in 2025. However, critics point out that the system's architecture is inherently designed to share information across a vast, interconnected national network. Federal agencies do not necessarily need a direct contract if they can just request the data from local law enforcement partners. Exactly. The technology is functioning exactly as designed, which is to cast a wide net. But how do local officials reconcile their promise of strict local oversight with a system that is fundamentally borderless? Once that data is uploaded, controlling who looks at it seems incredibly difficult, especially in multi-jurisdictional task forces.
It is a classic clash between the very real utility these cameras provide in solving violent crimes or recovering stolen vehicles, and the broader civil liberties concerns of mass surveillance. The fact that residents are taking to forums to map out camera locations shows a deep lack of trust in the official narrative.
Moving to our second deep dive, we are looking at a major legal and environmental battle brewing over the J.H. Campbell coal-fired power plant in West Olive. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel is officially challenging the federal government to force the plant's immediate closure. This is a fascinating clash between state energy policy and federal emergency powers. The Campbell plant has been operating since 1962, and it was originally scheduled for a planned, cost-effective retirement on May 31, 2025. That retirement plan wasn't arbitrary. It was approved by state regulators and ISO, the regional grid operator. And the financial implications of that planned retirement were massive. Closing the plant on schedule was projected to save Michigan ratepayers nearly $600 million by the year 2040. It was seen as a win-win for lowering energy costs and transitioning away from aging, heavily polluting infrastructure. But the U.S. Department of Energy stepped in. They have issued a fifth emergency order under Section 202C of the Federal Power Act, which essentially forces the plant to remain operational until at least August 16, 2026. The DOE is justifying these extensions by citing energy reliability concerns.
Specifically, the federal government is pointing to the massive surge in electricity demand from new manufacturing facilities and the rapid expansion of AI data centers. They are arguing that pulling the Campbell plant offline now would create an unacceptable risk of rolling blackouts during peak demand periods. Attorney General Nessel, however, is not buying that argument. She and other critics contend that these emergency orders are nothing more than a fabricated pretext to artificially prop up the coal industry. They argue the federal government is overstepping its authority and completely overriding state-level utility decisions. And the cost of this federal intervention is hitting ratepayers right now. Consumers Energy has reported that keeping this aging plant running past its planned 2025 retirement date has already resulted in at least $180 million in additional unexpected costs. That is $180 million just to maintain a facility that the state and the utility company both agreed was no longer economically viable. It really highlights the tension between modernizing the grid and managing the sudden, massive power requirements of the tech sector. It also raises serious questions about precedent. If the Department of Energy can repeatedly use emergency powers to keep a 60-year-old coal plant open despite state regulatory approval to close it, what does that mean for Michigan's broader transition to cleaner energy sources? It effectively removes control from local authorities. We will have to see how the courts handle Nessel's challenge. The balancing act between grid stability in the age of AI and the economic burden placed on everyday ratepayers is only going to get more complex from here.
All right, those are definitely two complex situations we will continue to monitor as they develop. Let's shift gears and hit a few more local stories real quick before we wrap up.
Sounds good. We have got updates on a major downtown park closure, some positive news for beachgoers in South Haven, and a farewell to a fast casual staple on Alpine.
First up, if you have tried to visit Anab Wen Park downtown recently, you have likely noticed it is completely closed off. The 6.5-acre park is serving as the primary staging area for the Grand River Revitalization Project.
Right. The city approved a $14.56 million contract with Taplin Group to remove four dams and install natural rock features. The catch is that the park will be closed between Gillett Bridge and Bridge Street for about 2 years, which has caused a lot of frustration among residents who feel the city didn't communicate the timeline clearly.
It is a massive disruption for summer events, though the city did allocate $2 million in the proposed budget for additional park improvements and flood resilience once the river work is finally done.
Over on the lakeshore, South Haven is officially reinstating its seasonal lifeguard program starting this Memorial Day weekend, marking the first time since 2001 that lifeguards will be stationed at the beaches. They will be posted at North Beach and South Beach. This reverses a 25-year policy of relying solely on flag warning systems and emergency responders, a change driven heavily by public pressure following a rise in Lake Michigan drownings.
It is a huge shift in municipal policy, and it will be interesting to see how they manage the logistics of staffing in what is usually a very competitive summer labor market.
It is a great initiative. They brought together 15 volunteers from Eagle, the Department of Labor and Economic Opportunity, and Corwell Health to maintain the grounds. This year, they also added a new element by collecting non-perishable food and personal care items for the West Michigan Veterans Assistance Program. It is really encouraging to see these state agencies partnering with local health organizations to expand their impact beyond just groundskeeping.
Finally, we have some tough news for fans of fast casual Italian food. The Fazoli's location on Alpine Avenue in Walker has permanently closed its doors.
Yeah, signs were posted thanking customers and directing them to remaining locations in Battle Creek, Lansing, and Jackson. The Muskegon location also shut down on the exact same day, which officially marks the end of the chain's presence in West Michigan. The closures are tied to the ongoing Chapter 11 bankruptcy reorganization of their parent company, Fat Brands Inc., which has been struggling with industry-wide pressures. It is definitely the end of an era for that specific stretch of Alpine.
And that is going to do it for today's episode of Grand Rapids Daily. As always, thank you so much for tuning in and staying informed on what is happening in our community.
Be sure to keep an eye on those weather alerts tonight. Stay safe out there, and we will be back tomorrow with more news from across West Michigan. Take care, everyone.